Yes. Well, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy. That precious, precious, precious word. Abundant mercy. God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. Just think of it, an amazing thing. Rejoice, your names are written in heaven. Don't rejoice that the evil spirits are subject to you. Rejoice that you've been chosen. You are God's child. Your name is written, never to be erased, on the heart of Christ, etched into his hands, graven upon the palms of his hands. It's marvelous scriptures we have, haven't we? You see, and these should cause us to rejoice, as the Apostle Peter says. Yeah. Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice. Wherein you greatly rejoice. It should be such a rejoicing with us that people should wonder how it is that we could cope, and we should be ready to tell them how. I'm persuaded that we are letting opportunities slip by us by the thousand every day. Letting the opportunity slip by when we could maybe seek to introduce it and find out where God is working. That's my viewpoint. Find out where he's working just by some simple question. Like, do you ever think about God, by the way? Or maybe you could say, do you know I'm praying for you? With a smile. It's little things like this that can start a conversation off. I'm amazed. Let me tell you one quickly. In the church where we received amazing blessing, I heard that a lady was ill and thought to be dying, was in a coma, and I thought, I'm going to go down. I went and knocked on the door, so I hear that your friend here is very ill, and I thought, if it were possible, I would like to pray for her and with her. She said, well, yes, do come in. So I went in, and there she was on the bed in the coma. And I prayed, because I've been told that it is possible. That the last thing to go is the understanding in the brain, you know, that it people could hear things. I don't know how true it is, but I just believe it. And so I prayed, you see. And I came out of the room, and the woman said, you know, thank you. That was marvelous. How you were able to talk to God like that. I said, well, it is wonderful. The truth of the Bible is quite marvelous. He said, well, my husband and I, we always pray. I said, oh, that's good. What did you pray about? We thank God for life and everything that happened, and you know, our food and everything. And I said, that's wonderful. I said, but I wonder if there's a certain way in which you have prayed yet. May I share something with you? He said, certainly. I said, well, no. The world's in a terrible state. And people's lives are messed up. And God, in great mercy, sent his son. He sent forth his son. And he came and went up that hill to Calvary's cross, bearing the sin of the world, suffering on the part of poor sinners like us. Amazing what he's done. You see, this is how a person is forgiven, by virtue of what Christ has done on the cross. She looked at me, she said, I never knew that. She says, it's wonderful. She says, can I thank him? This is true. Can I thank him? I said, well, you better wait a moment. I've got some more to tell you about him. I tell you how he rose again, is alive, and wishes to come and to begin his work in the human heart, changing, transforming the lives of people. That's what it's all about, I said. She said, oh, come on, and we pray. She prayed one of the most beautiful evangelical prayers I've ever heard in my life. That is true. This is a person who doesn't know the Bible, but he's just heard the truth. The Spirit of God had revealed it. You see what I mean? Now, I believe that we are surrounded by people like this. Honestly, I do. I believe we are surrounded by people like this. We have to find out. We ask them questions, gently and kindly, with a smile. happy people, happy people. Greatly rejoice, if need be, my dear, if need be. You are in near heaviness. I can hardly see it, it's gone from here. You're in heaviness through manifold testings and trials. And the trial of your faith is much more precious than gold, though if you tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. How are we going to come through the trials? The answer is so very simple, according to the scriptures. And Peter makes it clear to us, whom having not seen you now. In whom though now you see him not, you rejoice. With joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end purpose of your faith. What's the end purpose of your faith? That you should be happily, rejoicingly in the faith of Jesus Christ, completely trusting him, enjoying your salvation. You're receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I find that greatly encouraging, personally, myself, in my own life. But this is the answer. We joy in God through whom we receive the atonement. We joy. And the Philippians, it's a key word. You know that, of course. I mean, you do know that. It's a key word. And we could well go there and spend quite a bit of time. But I don't think we've got a lot left from now, I'll tell you the truth. But however, let me just... Yes. An important thing I learned, I don't know whether you've ever heard it, but it's quite amazing that there are some people who've almost gone through their Christian life, years and years and years of it, and never heard some basic statements that maybe they ought to have heard when they were quite young. The testing and trying of a believer. There are two forces at work in the testing and trying. We know that the Lord Jesus said to Peter, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you. Now Satan was out to bring out the bad. He succeeded. Are you with me? But now our wonderful God and Lord Jesus Christ is also bringing to bear upon us tests and trials, and he is sifting us to bring out good. That's a very simple statement, and I believe it's very important. And this is happening every day, of course. The enemy is sending out fiery darts. Right? Oh, by the way, there's an interesting viewpoint on the life of Joseph. Perhaps it'll illustrate what I was talking about a few moments ago. What made it possible for Joseph to say to that woman, beautiful woman, who invited him into bed with her, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? The love that he had for God, the awareness of God in his life. The Lord was with Joseph. Are you with me? Now this is what we need, isn't it? Draw me nearer, blessed. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord. Be busy. Get busy. The old saying, I believe, is very true spiritually. Satan soon finds things for idle hands to do. It's true. If you're absolutely honest and you look back into your weaker days in Christian life, when you were on your own, you were thoroughly much more open to temptation. When you're inactive and not doing anything. So I believe, you know, that the more we can keep busy. And by the way, churches that experience trouble and troublemakers are very often because these people are inactive. If I had my life again and somebody said, come and take charge of this company of believers, I would see to it that everyone is taught to be active in the Lord. The prayer meeting would be a time when all would share. From the beginning of conversion, As I think I told you, David, the other night, so we had 85% of the church in the prayer meeting. In the first part, it was devoted to thanksgiving, one-sentence prayers for those who were just converted. It's very important. Same as in family life, bringing up children. An awareness of God has to be established. And each one must get that awareness. And in a church, that's important. Otherwise, we just follow rigid rules and we're legalists and we don't get anywhere. However, that's by the way, you need to do more thinking, as I probably do on that one. I must bring this to an end. Yes. Okay, let's go over here. Talking about obedience in chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Notice in your ignorance. But as he who has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. So prayer has a lot to do with this. Calling upon the Father. How can we possibly obey God without asking him the help, the power to do it? And then again, an appreciation of the redemption of blood, which is in that next verse. Redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, etc. Now coming on to verse 22, and I think I'm going to close over with this one. We've had quite enough to really think about tonight on this one. Our belief is in God who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Unpretended. People are very, very good. I have discovered people are very, very good at offering the sort of face to you that they love you. But it's pretended. And it's something. It's pretense. And the apostle is saying here, unfeigned. Out and out. Even although they may despise you, what are we to do? Pray for those who despise you. No, this is the point, you say, offer him the other cheek. You know, are we going to follow this through? If your enemy, have we got enemies? We have enemies in the church. I have enemies. I have, Sylvie, how many have I got? I can't tell you. Hundreds. Enemies. But I'm not their enemy. I love them. Apostle Paul had many enemies, and he said towards the close of his life, he said, the more I love you, the less I be loved. He says, I will gladly spend for you. So, you know, we've got to stick at this, you see, because it's very important, it's very strong. This word is very strong. See that you love one another. Through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again. What does that mean? Well, it's the first sign. It's the first sign of new birth. I know why we don't see this, but we need to see this. This is a sign of the new birth, being born again. That first fellowship that I came into in India, 1944, the last war. Fellowship, they love one another. I think I grew in my grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus in an amazing way in those first months or so, because of the amazing fellowship of love and devotion to God in that first fellowship. I can never forget it, and I'm thankful to God for having had that. But, you know, when I came back to this country, figuratively speaking, I nearly died. The coldness, lack of warmth and lack of interest and lack of love. It was terrible. But having seen, and embracing a scripture like that, for instance, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed, which lives and abides forever. Well, brothers, sisters, you know, I'll just pray with you. And we'll ask God, shall we, each one of us, will ask God to write the lessons that he wants us to learn in this day and age and for the present time, that we may glorify him in our body and our spirits, which are his, purchased by blood, sprinkled. Okay. Thank you, Father, for this God-given time. I believe that you're in all circumstances. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, and we would love God here tonight. Having thought of the tremendous price paid and the fact that the blood has been applied to us, oh God, we pray that we'll walk worthy of this vocation in which we're called. We'll be able to walk in love as Christ also has walked before us and has given himself as an offering. May we be prepared to be drink offerings poured out to the Lord. And we ask that you will reclaim the situation and fill this place with hearts that are alive with devotion. And may happy service emanate from the lives of your people. Bless your children that are here. And we commit and commend them to you, and to the word of your grace, which is able to build them up with an inheritance sanctified by faith in the Lord Jesus. We ask this in his name. Amen.